ITS Coffee Break for Friday, March 1st, 2013.
On this, the 70th edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we'll let you know about a new survey tool we're piloting this semester. We'll talk about the many changes to the Lafayette web presence and mobility. And we'll also have some discussions around MOOCs and smartphones, a unified communications pilot, and faculty technology grants.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name is Ken Newquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And you may totally have forgotten about us because it's been like a year.
Well, at least we're back.
Yeah, exactly. This one's for John O'Keefe, who has been nagging about it. Been nagging us about it for
quite some time.
18 months.
And I'm sure that Dave Block and maybe even Brian Alexander are out there sort of wondering what happened.
Yes, we haven't pod faded. We've more like just, I don't know, pod hibernated.
Oh, yeah, that's excellent. So a lot's been going on. I mean, that's kind of the challenge when we sat down to put notes together is so much is going on. What do we want to tell you about?
Right. So,
I mean, I guess the interesting things are around sort of our web presence, which is one of the things that has been keeping Ken and I busy.
Yeah.
We have a mobile web presence.
Yeah, this launched in January of 2012,
yeah,
I guess, or March or something like that.
Yeah, so it's been live a while.
Yeah, about almost a year. But that's why we got so busy, because we haven't been doing podcasts, because we're working on mobile stuff. So we have m.lafayette.edu, which you should get redirected to if you go to the main Lafayette homepage.
On your mobile device.
On your mobile device. And then we have mobile themes for all of the department pages. So if you go to biology.lafayette.edu or communications.lafayette.edu, you automatically get a mobile-optimized version. And it's not just a handful of mobile pages. It's actually the whole site browsable on your phone.
It's very cool. And part of the reason why we're now sort of promoting it even more is because they've made a recent addition where you can actually track the LCAT's schedule,
right,
or get to it at least through the mobile app.
Yeah, so you
very
can
easily.
Yeah, so there's a link right on the homepage of m.lof that will take you to the shuttle website. And what this does is there's a web version which allows you to track the shuttles on your phone just through a web app. You can also download an app to your phone that would do it through an app. And then you can do it from your desk too, because there's a desktop view that allows you to do it that way.
It's very fancy. I usually use the mobile site a lot to do the directory and the mm-hmm. calendar, because it's like so quick and easy.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that another quick and easy, if I may segue, is to Campus Portal that we've been working on for well over a year as well.
I'm seeing some parallels here. There's a lot of these things that have consumed all of our time and mind space, and they're actually winding down. So
yeah, so we've been working on my.lafayette.edu, which is not available to you yet. But hopefully this summer, if things go as planned, you would be able to log in there, and it would single sign you on to all of the campus web apps. So like Zembra and Calendar and, well, you don't have to log into that, but
right.
Zembra and Moodle and Spaces and Google Drive, I guess,
yes.
And Banner.
Yes.
Right? And so in there you would have some blocks where you would be able to sort of get a dashboard view, if you will, of kind of your Lafayette stuff. And it'll let you kind of drill down into those things. So you see something, you need your Moodle course, you could click your Moodle course from right there and it'll take you there.
Right, so, and then you won't have to sign into Moodle because it'll just take you through.
It'll just take you through.
So,
yeah. So I guess other interesting things that have been going on, there's a unified communications pilot right now.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know what unified communications is, it's basically the phone system, but more.
Right.
So there's, I guess, about 100 of us right now, and actually the phones are in HD, which...
You wouldn't think that you would need an HD phone until you walk into an office and hear somebody having a conversation with someone, and you realize that person's not actually there, but only after you enter the office. That happened with O'Keefe and Jason Frisbell the other day. Huh. I heard Jason's office, I walked in, like, is Jason here? And then I realized, oh, he's talking to him on his phone. I mean...
It is crystal clear.
It's amazingly clear.
It's kind of like when I first got an HD TV, we got the plasma at the house, and it was sort of unnerving as to how detailed everything was.
Right, watching Lost, and you can see the individual beads of sweat on pieces of people's heads, right?
Yep.
So, but it does more than that, because it does instant messaging, so you can chat back and forth with people.
You can also, there's a client that goes on your computer so that you can actually, you could sort of start with a chat if you wanted to, and then you could escalate to a video call or that type of thing.
I haven't tried the video call.
We tried it in testing. We haven't used it a lot just because there's not sort of critical mass on it. There'll also be an app that we'll be testing on our mobile devices, which I have used quite a bit. It's very nice. It's an app that goes on my iPhone, and then if you call my office, my iPhone rings.
So this means, for those of us who are in Skillman Library, that we can make cell phone calls in Skillman because it goes over the Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. So it's unnerving, actually, the first time that you're in Skillman and your phone rings, because normally that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Your cell phone.
Yeah. It works for the students, though. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And I guess the last thing that maybe we want to mention in this segment of ITS News is something I'm really excited about. It's a grant program for faculty. So we've basically taken the IT budget and we've made sure that we earmark a certain amount of money for faculty to request technology for their classes and for teaching. And so we've got, applications are actually due today. Not that you're going to listen to this and then apply, but we're really excited. We have probably around a dozen applications, and they sort of run the gamut from, you know, clicker systems, audience response types of things, to the ability to sort of flip your classroom and create video content to support that.
So how are these being evaluated? Like, who's doing the?
Yeah, so the ITL committee for faculty, the IT and library committee of the faculty, will be reviewing them over the coming weeks and will sort of rank them, and we'll have a little bit of input as far as the ones, you know, comment on if we have resources, as far as people resources,
right,
to make these happen, and whether or not the technology will work the what they've sort of selected. So, but yeah, we're not really making the decision. The faculty are making the decisions. So
that is really cool. I can't wait to see what comes out
of it. I mean, I'm super excited to have the opportunity to, you know, sort of solicit for people to actually come up with some new ideas. And, you know, I think the interesting thing is that a lot of people didn't know that some of this stuff was possible. So I've had a couple of conversations about projects that actually aren't going to require any funding. They just require some time. And so I'm excited about that.
That's really, really cool. So in tech news, we have some pretty cool stuff and some possibly, well, if it's disruptive or, well, it's cool in a disruptive way or like in a creative disruptive, right?
Yeah.
So do we want to start with, we pronounce this MOOC?
It is. Yeah, it's pronounced MOOC. So there's been lots of buzz about this, even to the point of New York Times. So MOOC, massively open online courses.
I got that backwards.
Oh, good. I'm glad I didn't read it off your paper. So basically, large, big name institutions like, MIT, Stanford, I guess Harvard, Yale is staying as far away from it as possible. A lot of these large institutions are creating what they're calling MOOCs. These large online courses where they're free and they are open. So by open, we mean you might have to register and, you know, log in for certain aspects of it, but most of the content is then open. So they're hosting videos on YouTube. They are pointing people to journal articles and readings that are available on, you know, Google Scholar or on the open web, mm-hmm, things like this. And so you've got like 140,000 people registering for these things. And of course, you know, the attrition rate is horrid. So you might, of those, have, you know, 1,000 who actually complete all of the course content. But it is, you know, as you mentioned, it's sort of disruptive. I think the cool thing about it is that it's causing us to really talk about some of these issues. I am not super supportive of MOOC as a replacement for sort of traditional higher education. But I think it's a really interesting concept. And I think that it's interesting to think about, because one thing to understand is that a MOOC is not a certain technology. Mm-hmm. I think that was something that was a little fuzzy at the beginning.
Right.
It's not a certain technology. It's not a certain learning management platform. It is really kind of a point in time right now that has evolved to bring us here. So now you do have content out on the open web. You do have the ability for students in a course to create their own little pockets of community to be able to support one another in learning and engage one another.
Right.
So, you know, they're employing Twitter and Facebook and other social media sites. They're using Reddit to vote up and down concepts for class.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking advantage of things that are there and open and freely accessible in order to try and drive learning and engagement. So, you know, we've had a couple of sessions here on campus to talk about MOOCs. I have a session coming up in a couple weeks about it, but it's definitely a hot topic and something to sort of watch and pay attention to. I personally like the idea of like MOOCification. I did not coin that myself, but sort of taking those best pieces of it and thinking about what we could do with it in a small private liberal arts sort of setting.
Right. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, you love to be able to play with these kind of things. I think that's one of the things we've done, at least in our time with Lafayette, is always trying to figure out new things we can experiment with, including, responsive design.
Yeah.
I think this is actually something that we've been talking about since we went live with the new mobile. So, you know, there's a problem in web design, which is there's a proliferation of devices that you can view the web on. They're accessible from everywhere, you know, up to and including your toaster, right? So, you know, and the problem is if you design a website to look good on your phone, well, you're going to design one to look good on your iPad and one to look good on your iPad mini. Mm-hmm. And the screen resolutions just go all over the place, right? So responsive design, I mean, that it's most basic is basically creating one design that can easily flow from a desktop-oriented view all the way down to your phone. It's the same content. It's just that there's a series of basically media queries that are going on in the back end that say, okay, well, I'm on a device that's this big, so this is how I'm going to show the content to you. But, I mean, that's a huge mind shift. You know, I mean, if you're coming from the world of print where I have a book or I have a brochure, it's never going to change. It's just like that, right? And now you have a design that the content and the photos and the presentation, everything changes based on the device that you're using. You have to give up so much control, but in some ways I think that's very liberating, right? But it's going to cause you to have to choose pictures differently. It's going to have to choose art differently. You're going to have to write differently. You know, I mean, it's a cool concept. So one of the hallmarks for this was the Twitter Bootstrap, which is a framework for responsive web design. It's really popular in geeky web design circles right now. It was developed by some guys at Twitter, and a lot of sites are using it. And we've been talking about different ways to experiment with using it here at Lafayette. I think there's been some talk in the Moodle community about using it as a base theme in one of the upcoming releases, so it would be accessible. It's cool. I mean, the problem, I will say, there's some sites, including Haverford, that are going to these kinds of designs, and I think it's very early going. So you see a lot of, on the one hand, it's very cool, and on the other hand, like, some of the design concepts haven't been worked out yet, so the gestures and the iconography and stuff like that, it doesn't quite do what you want it to do, right? Or it feels a little bit awkward, but I think that is definitely the way forward. And from my perspective, I don't want to have to design 4 different websites.
I want to
just make one and have it flow. So, because we don't have the time or the budget to be able to just constantly be redesigning things as a new screen comes out.
Right, so. Absolutely, yeah. Well, speaking of like new
and different size screens.
Different size screens. Did you know that there's this whole new kind of emerging technology in smartwatches?
I think this is really cool. I've only been waiting for this since I was 12.
Yeah, that's true. So basically the idea is that people or companies are coming out with watches that allow you to connect to your smartphone. So, I mean, we all have this problem, right? Your phone is in your purse or your backpack or your whatever, and right. you don't hear it ring, you don't feel it vibrate, whatever. So the idea behind this is you could have your phone wherever. You have on your watch, and your watch either buzzes, vibrates, whatever, to let you know that you have new mail, a phone call, a text message. Some of them, it just sort of like that icon lights up for right. what it is. But some of them, it actually runs across your screen and says, like, new email from Ken Newquist
right.
and subject line. So it's really cool.
There was one, I think it was the Martian. I don't remember. There's this article where David Pogue at the New York Times went through and it was basically reviewing a bunch of these
yeah.
watches. And I mean, I think the whole idea is that the concept is there. The technology just hasn't caught
Right.
They're
right.
still working out the bugs, right?
Right.
But one of them, you could actually talk into your phone over Bluetooth, and like you can issue commands to Siri over your watch.
Yeah.
Using like
this
the iPhone
is so
5.
Cool. And actually in this article, he actually mentions that Apple is sort of toying with the idea of an iWatch as well. So definitely go read the article. It's very interesting to think about, because you're right. I mean, we've wanted this since we were little.
Right. And I don't know. I've like you say, you're all bundled up in the winter and you're walking home and your phone rings. It's like, I don't even know what pocket my phone
right.
is in. Or honestly, I was out skiing this winter with my daughter out on Blue Mountain. To dig out your phone when you're wearing your ski jacket and then your three layers and
yeah,
what have you,
not
right?
Happen.
Like, if you could just have it on your watch and get the alert, you know, that'd be really cool. In help news, well, we upgraded the help website.
We
went
did.
From Drupal 6 to Drupal 7, and was already using the old NowWeb theme, but it's newer and spiffier.
And it's going to allow us to do some more stuff for you.
Yes.
And speaking of new stuff for you in help, we actually have a streaming media server set up now at media.lafayette.edu, and we're beginning to put training videos in there.
Nice.
Yeah, so most of them will also be embedded in our help site, but other departments are encouraged to, as they're creating screencasts and screen recordings, put them up at media.lafayette.edu for now.
Cool.
What else? Oh, calendar. So there's the students from the Technology LLC, the Living Learning Communities, they're sponsoring next week a talk on the Lafayette Network. And so John O'Keefe, the CIO EVP, is going to be talking about our network and how that's structured and sort of some of the interesting things that we've done with that. So check it out in calendar.lafayette.edu if you're interested in that.
I think that's about it, actually. I mean, there's actually a lot more stuff we could talk about,
yeah.
but we want to keep this down to, you know, under an hour. we're always looking for feedback. You can send it to us at itsblog@lafayette.edu.